flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Welcome back into Sports Talk, powered by Lambert, Zaney, Smith, and Sosa, here at the Morio Convention Center Radio Row, as things get ready to break it on down, as we're just 2 days away from the big game in the Superdome. Philadelphia Eagles, the home team, taking on the visiting Kansas City Chiefs, looking to do something that no NFL team has done before, win back-to-back-to-back NFL championships.
Well, let me correct you. They're the first team to try to win back-to-back-to-back Super Bowls. The Packers would like you to know that they did it twice before the merger.
Right.
So we can't say championships.
Super Bowls then, right.
We can say Super Bowls, and you know, you could say, well, they didn't play the other league, whatever. But the Packers would like a word, sir. They have done it.
We've done it.
Just back in, like, the 20s and I think the 50s. But anyway. I don't know why I felt the need to insert myself there, but it's worth noting. We're talking Super Bowls.
Yeah, and I guess the Packers can have that claim then if they won, you know, three titles in a row. It is what it is.
Yeah, well, a lot different. You had guys named Curly and stuff, and you know, I'm just saying.
Jeff, you sat down with Saints reporter John Hendricks from Athlon Sports. Talking on all things black and gold, getting ready for, I guess it's going to be one of the wilder off seasons we got going on, because...
Yeah, it's just getting started.
Yeah, right now we still do not have a head coach. That is a fact, even though, you know, we're pretty much waiting on the fact for the Super Bowl to end, expecting it to be Kellen Moore. But the fact is right now, this is a coachless Saints squad at the moment.
Yes, and once the head coach gets hired... It doesn't slow down. It only speeds up.
Right. Here's Jeff's conversation with John Hendricks, Saints reporter for Athlon Sports.
How you doing, John? How's your week going?
I'm doing good, man. I'm much better. I was coming away from the flu and all that stuff, so I don't recommend that at all. But
No, it's not an experience you think everyone should try?
No, man, I'm one that doesn't get sick. You know, it kicked me in a way like, you know, like Blazing Saddles when he goes up and hits the guy, the horse. That's how it felt. So
trust me, I had like a minor head cold a couple weeks ago, and I shut my whole thing down for like a week.
Yeah,
it was. I don't deal with it well, so I'm gonna keep a healthy distance in case you're still mildly contagious. I don't know.
I'm not saying that isn't smart, but you know that's smart.
I trust you, but I really don't trust anyone.
Right.
Anyway, okay. So we're gonna come on. We're gonna talk about the Saints. We're sitting here on Radio Row, where we have taken up residence. It's now day four. Since it opened on Monday, I feel like I've spent, 80% of the last week in this building. You can see people wandering around. It's kind of just fascinating to sit here and just watch, you know, people watch us. You know, I think I saw Nick Wright wandering around. I know the Mannings have been around here. We saw a few Saints players coming in and out. What has been your kind of experience in this whole thing so far?
Well, look, I'm a 80s kid, right? And in 80s, 90s football era, so I got to see Joe Montana walking through earlier. I got to see Emmitt Smith and Darrell Johnson cutting it up. Warren Moon just kind of passes through. So that's, to me, has been kind of the biggest thing, like just seeing all these football legends just to walk around. Jerome Bettis, too, was another one. That's been pretty nuts to see. And, of course, you know, shocking seeing all these people you always normally see on like TV and stuff, like you said, Nick Wright, I saw him too, and just to kind of see them in this element of the Super Bowl week, it's pretty crazy.
Yeah, you see people kind of out of their you know, that bubble that you experience. Like, you see Mina Kimes on TV, and you're like, oh, that's Mina Kimes. And you just hear her getting a coffee over to the side. Oh, yeah, you're a real person. That's right. I forgot about that. I forgot everyone just exists in their own universe, and I have my own. Anyway, so, John, speaking of the universe we are in, you know, the Saints aren't playing this week, but the Saints are watching some people very closely. You know, Kellen Moore obviously is the, I don't know if front runner is the word. He's definitely the presumptive favorite for the Saints head coaching job. Where do you land on everything? Because I think it's kind of become a running joke in league circles of like, oh, the Saints, yeah, they don't even have a head coach right now. It's February,
right,
and the Saints do not have a head coach. But if it's Kellen Moore, then you at least have an explanation,
yeah,
right? Because you can't, if you want Kellen Moore, you got to wait.
Yeah.
So where do you land on this?
Yeah, look, I mean, he's the guy that they want, right? And the thing is, I mean, you've seen plenty of teams not fill their coaching needs until after the Super Bowl, so it's not like it's uncommon. The thing is that I know a lot of people are saying, oh, well, you got to prep for this next season, all this other stuff,
yeah,
which they got plenty of time to do that. Like, Senior Bowl was last week. That's all the first exposure that the front office and all the coaches, all that stuff that they get exposure to over there. So it's not like massive homework is done. Like, everybody meets with everybody at the Senior Bowl. The biggest thing is, do you have them in place before the combine? Because the combine is where everything just comes to a more head, where you're really doing a lot of your homework and then you're trying to figure out your top 30 visits, all this stuff. Look, I think Kellen Moore is definitely their guy, right? And I think their contingency plan probably would be like Darren Rizzi, maybe Mike Kafka, but I think at this juncture, he's probably been somebody that they've identified that they want to go with from the start of the process, just because I think, A, it gives them something unfamiliar. It's a different direction than what they have gone.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that should excite some fans, too, is just getting somebody in here with a fresh perspective, a offensive guy. He's not going to win you over in the locker room or anything, or like when he talks in the media and such. But look, I think he's extremely talented. You know, he's not Dennis Allen. He's not Sean Payton. But at the same time, I think he's his own brand of Kellen Moore, that what they're going to get.
Yeah, and speaking of, you know, both those guys are former Cowboys, and that former Cowboy Emmitt Smith just wandering around.
Yep.
You know, and the Cowboys are a part of this process. That'll be my segue back into the coaching search. Is like, one of the reasons the Saints seem so out of far afield from everybody else is that there's no patience anymore in these head coaching searches. These teams like solo in, you know, hone in on one target, and either they get it or they don't. I mean, you look at the Jets, and everyone made a big deal about Aaron Glenn not interviewing with the Saints. Well, the Jets made Aaron Glenn their entire head coaching search.
Yep.
Right? They interviewed some people, but it was like they're casting a net in advance so that when they get Aaron Glenn, all they have to do is hire him. Bears did the same thing with Ben Johnson. It's like that. It's either it's all or nothing.
Yeah.
And the Saints, it seems like, are one of the few teams left that is actually willing to do the thing, to actually do interviews. And I know it's like it sounds stupid, but I don't know. Shouldn't you want to do that? Shouldn't you want your team to actually do this process and not just like treat the Rooney Rule like a hurdle you have to hop over, like the Patriots did, right?
Yeah.
It's just strange to me that the Saints get clowned for it when it's like the four best teams in the NFL played in the championship games. There was, what, seven head coach openings, eight head coach openings? The Saints were the only team that had any interest in any of the assistants on the four best teams. Isn't that strange? I don't know. Like, it's hard for me to be upset about it when that's – I don't know. You want the team to find the best coach. And unless you do the interviews, how are you going to find the best coach? Everyone – it seems like teams now, rather than do that process, are more than happy to decide in advance, do the interviews to confirm their own biases, and then just say, all right, how much money do you want?
Sure. Yeah, I'd say first and foremost, the Rooney Rule is a joke. I really don't like it. I think that it needs to change.
I mean, like the concept of
it,
I understand what it's for, but
sure,
the way teams approach it is a joke.
It doesn't work. Teams just skirt around it, I guess you could say. And so, look, I think the play is you got to go and do the homework because, yeah, I think for – again, the Jets and the Bears, they're trying to get the marquee name for everybody, right? But the Saints, they haven't been in the postseason for 4 years now.
Yeah.
You should do your homework. You should find the next person. This is not a process where you're just like, I don't want this revolving door, because the thing is, how long is Ben Johnson going to last in Chicago? I know he got a contract, but that patience is going to run out really quickly. Mm-hmm. Same thing in New York, too, with Aaron Glenn. And so I don't get as upset about Aaron Glenn as some people have. I would have liked to have seen him, you know, get an in-person interview, but that screams more that he wanted the Jets. The Jets really wanted him. That makes all the sense in the world. But for the Saints, you want them to take their time. And I don't think they're behind the eight ball at all or anything with their process right now because, again, you know, when you do hire a new coach, you can start your offseason program a couple weeks early than other other teams and stuff. They're right on their timeline. I don't think there's anything that's going on besides filling out a coaching staff that you really need to do at this point until you get to the combine.
Yeah, and one thing you said earlier that I want to dig deeper on is, you know, okay, Kellen Moore, Darren Rizzi, it feels like those are the two options. Obviously, Mike Kafka, Anthony Weaver is still in the mix here. But to me, it's like, okay, if it's Kellen Moore, and it has to be Kellen Moore as your target if you're waiting this long. Otherwise, you would have hired these guys. Like, there's no other reason to wait. And so it kind of feels like to me, it's like, hey, if I can get Kellen Moore, fantastic. I can sell that to everyone. That's our guy. We nailed it. And he's our new offensive wizard. We got to figure out the defense. If I strike out on Kellen Moore, if he says, you know what, this isn't my opportunity, I'm going to take a step back. And I do think people need to prepare themselves for that being a thing that can happen. Because the Eagles have plenty of time to soften him up, then drop a bag on his head and say, wait till next year when there's a lot of head coaching opportunities that feel a little more attractive. And if you don't get that done, I feel like the reason you'd end up with Rizzi is because, you know, Kellen Moore you can sell to the fans. Darren Rizzi you can sell to the players. And the only way you spin this around optically is by winning games. And Darren Rizzi would give you the best opportunity to win games.
Yeah, I feel like he would come in and be able to run the program his way. And look, he's got a ton of connections. He's somebody that could come in and obviously build a staff that's very familiar, seasoned, all this stuff. People don't realize how much Darren Rizzi does in the scouting process, too. I mean, all those undrafted rookies that the Saints find, most all of them probably are connected to Darren Rizzi because of all the work. Like, nobody knew who Deontay Harris was when he came out, not Deontay Hardy. But that was a guy that Darren Rizzi found. Like, these guys like Isaiah Stallbird, who saw time,
Shaheed.
Or Blake Ruby, Rashid Shaheed. I mean, all of these guys come from coaches like that, and that's what fans don't typically see. And, you know, look, again, this is a lack of patience in this league. It's a win now type thing. And, you know, look at the quarterback position. If you're not cutting the mustard within the first year and a half, you're traded if you're a first round quarterback. And so, look, I think for the coaching staff and for everything that's going on with Kellen Moore, again, there is a chance that he could back out. And that's why I don't fault guys like Cliff Kingsbury and Joe Brady. Like, they're close to potentially winning a Super Bowl. Why would you want to go leave that? I get it. Like, it's an opportunity to lead. But if you get a bump in pay and you're that close to the Super Bowl, maybe you want to come back and run it back a little bit. I think that's what Ben Johnson did. He set out that coaching cycle. And then, you know, I don't fault Brady or Cliff Kingsbury. And then they could have their pick of the litter when it comes to next coaching cycle.
Yeah, I agree with you. And look how but there's two sides of that coin. Look how it looked for Ben Johnson.
Yep.
He did that last year. But look how it worked out for Bobby Slowick.
Exactly.
It felt like was in that same spot. It ended up getting fired 12 months later. You know, one more question, and I'll let you go. You're the GM of the Saints. Put your GM's hat on. You know, obviously the head coach, his decision making is gonna be a factor here. What are you doing at quarterback? Are you sticking with Derek Carr? Are you saying, give me the best free agent? Are you saying, I want to eat a cap bomb? I want to draft somebody? I want to go with Spencer Rattler? Where are you on that?
Yeah, I think it's got to be an honest assessment of where this team is at. Now, if I'm putting on my GM hat and I'm Mickey Loomis, I believe this team looks at themselves as they can still compete in this division and still try to get an NFC South title. And for that reason, I'd say that the play that they would have is bringing Derek Carr back, right? And I, again, especially if it's Darren Rizzi, because he said more than a few times that they didn't win games without Derek Carr, right? And so,
and that's empirically true.
Yeah, and you're going to be putting in a new offense, regardless of whether it is Kellen Moore or not, right? You're going to have a new offense here. And so, look, I think that he gives them a great chance to win. Now, on the opposite side of it, that if you were to move on from him, carry him as a post June 1st, and then just kind of cut ties, like he has a no trade clause. You cannot just say, I'm going to trade him to whoever. Like, I saw that speculation on the Giants and all that. That's just not going to happen, right? And so for New Orleans, if they were to do that, move on from Carr, I'd like to see Spencer Rattler get an opportunity, but I think they also need to bring in a veteran to pair along with him, somebody like maybe a Jimmy Garoppolo or Joshua Dobbs, somebody who's not going to break the bank for you, but is going to be able to have some upside to start in this league, potentially, who has started in this league. I think that would be a smart play, but as of right now, if you're asking, I think Derek Carr's probably the quarterback. That was the sense I gathered even early last year. And, of course, the reason why people are upset about this contract is the Saints did this in the first boat. You know, they restructured his contract. That's why his contract is so expensive right now.
Yeah. You know, if Josh Dobbs plays half as well for the Saints as he does against the Saints, then maybe that's a viable option. I'm just saying.
Could.
He's all pro against the Saints and you know, all whatever against everybody else. But great stuff, John Hendricks, as always. Now with Athlon Sports, tell everyone where they can find your work. I know it's a new spot for you. How's it going?
It's going great, man. Thanks for asking. It's Athlon Sports, and it's the New Orleans Saints coverage. So it's definitely one of those things where we're trying to get things up off the ground. And look, man, it's just bringing Saints fans the coverage that they deserve. So I appreciate all the support. And on social Twitter, I call it Twitter, not X anymore.
Yeah, it's
John J. Hendricks, just like Jimmy.
I hear you, man. All right. And thanks so much to John for coming on. This is WWLAMFM.com on the Odyssey app.
That was Jeff Nowak with Athlon Sports Saints writer John Hendricks. And, yeah, the tough part about it right now is trying to, you know, discuss anything Saints with so much uncertainty. And the first domino still has to fall with the head coach.
Yeah, well, one thing I will point out, and, you know, it is what it is. Super Bowl's in New Orleans. The former quarterback of the New Orleans Saints, Drew Brees, he's here. The former quarterback of the New Orleans Saints, Jameis Winston, yeah, he's here. Tight ends, Jimmy Graham, he's here. Mark Ingram, he's here. Cam Jordan, he's here. Rashid Shaheed, Bub Means, Brian Brzee, they're here.
Spencer Rattler,
he's here. Derek Carr, MIA.
Crickets.
I mean, Super Bowl's in your city. Where are you? I don't know. It doesn't strike me as a guy who's trying to win people over. Do with that information what you will.
Maybe he knows a little something we don't.
I'm not saying. Right.
Taking a break here on Sports Talk here at the Host Committee's Media Center on Radio Row, powered by Lambert, Zaney, Smith, and Sosa. Coming back with more of our interviews on the Treasure Chest Casino Power Seat right after this on WWL.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover, all for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby. If you enjoy football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys.
Here's some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It with the Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, back here on Sports Talk. I'm Jeff Nowak. This is WWL AM 870 FM 105.3 and always live on the free Odyssey app. And we're bringing in a great guest, Nick Asayan, founder of Light Helmets. We're sitting here on Radio Row. Nick, how you doing? How's the Super Bowl New Orleans experience treating you?
Pretty excited to be here. Jeff, thanks for having me. New Orleans, such a great city, and excited for a game that a lot of people wanted to see, some people didn't, but we're definitely enthusiastic and to be part of the big show.
Yeah, there's a lot of feelings on either side. I grew up a Giants fan, so rooting for the Eagles feels wrong, but it still feels right at the same time because, I don't know, watching a three-peat, just I can't do it. Where are you on this?
I'm with you. You know, I was a Chiefs fan. I love the fans. Having grown up close to Green Bay, it's a very similar, like, culture with the team. But at the same point, I don't know if I want to see three in a row. And You know, I understand the whole thing with the referees and the calls and things like that. And, you know, you can call the narrative either way if you pick apart every play. But I think it's going to be a great game. Eagles have this huge line, and then you've got the Mahomes-Kelsey connection and then all the other things swirling around on the outside. It should be exciting. Who's your pick?
Every bone in my body wants to say the Eagles are going to win. The Eagles are the better team, like on paper and everything. But how do you bet against the Chiefs, right? Like, how can you in good conscience tell people, like, I believe that the Eagles are going to win when everything says otherwise, right?
I agree. And then, you know, there's some question marks around the health of the Eagles quarterback. I mean, he had a concussion, which, you know, we're going to talk about that a bit today.
Right.
But then also the injury and calls into question because nobody's going to come out and full disclosure with if you've got limitations at that position. So it should be a great game. I'm guessing that it comes down to the last possession as usual.
Yeah, it's a rematch of one of the better Super Bowls we've had in a while. So hopefully it's at least a good game and we can all work out our own mental hurdles as we go. But let's talk about the helmets. So we're talking about light helmets. They're worn by players on 24 out of 32 NFL teams and 29 NCAA teams. Says, hey, they're the lightest and safest protective headgear used in professional, amateur, and youth football. Why don't you just kind of give us a breakdown of, okay, what are these helmets? What makes them unique? Why are they the lightest helmets?
Yeah, it's a great question. So all this technology was derived in the auto race and military space. Simpson Racing, if anybody's watched anything racing, the seats, the seat belts, the helmet, anything that said Simpson was a creation of a guy by the name of Bill Simpson. I had a long racing career. Bill and I interacted, and he started a football helmet company after he sold Simpson off. Jeff Saturday was wearing the helmet, Dwight Freeney on the Colts, some other guys. But he got stuck in the politics because in racing, a failure is a fatality. And in football, there's a lot of worry about litigation and other things. Things move a little bit slower. So he was struggling with the NFL. A group of friends and I bought the company, and we've added some interesting investors since then. But the helmet's come a long way from when we bought it, and now we're on NFL field, NCAA field. Equity holders in the company include Cam Jordan, Tyrod Taylor, Darius Robinson, Drew Stanton, the founder of FedEx. It's a remarkable story, and three Navy SEALs out of the San Diego area. But the big thing with the helmets is everybody thinks safety first. And the NFL ranks helmets. We're in the top-rated category recommended, and we have the number one helmet at Virginia Tech. But we pulled 2.5 pounds of weight out of the helmet. So when you see these head-to-ground injuries where a quarterback gets hit and their head slams into the ground, think about a 5-pound construction hammer versus a 3-pound.
Right.
The 5-pound causes more damage. So taking weight out. And then, of course, they got to look cool.
Yeah, and I think that's the part. It's a little, I don't know, misconstrued of like, okay, heavier means there's more equipment in there, there's more safety in there. But when you take the weight out, it becomes, you know, because there's a concussion has two parts. There's one is the head hitting something, but then something also hitting the head, right?
That's correct.
So like the lighter the helmet, the less force going into that object. Is that the idea?
That's it. So if you think about your neck is a fulcrum, right? And if you watch UFC, somebody can take a lot of direct shots to the forehead and they can keep coming. But when you start getting that head whip left to right, because it's impacting the cervical structure, the brainstem, et cetera. And, you know, there's so many of these hits where you see the quarterback, they've got both hands on the ball, they get hit and their head slams back into the pavement, or a defensive back receiver jumps up and their head slams back into the the turf, not the pavement. That's where these injuries are coming from because the game has changed. Think about it. Kickoffs are gone. You can't hit a defenseless receiver. You can't touch a quarterback in the head. And until this year, concussions kept going up. Even with all of those changes, why is that? Well, in the lab, when we test these helmets, it's just sitting on a head form and someone shoots a piece of material at it.
Right.
In real world, it's a whole different thing. So that head whip, if you think about 2 pounds in an 80G impact, is an additional 160 pounds that your brainstem and neck are having to manage. And we had a quarterback, Cam Rising, Utah, gets knocked out wearing a competitive helmet in the Rose Bowl and an innocuous hit on the turf. Gets into one of our helmets, 7 targeting calls, and no injury. By the end of the year, he was investing his NIL money and his family was in the company. And, you know, we've had schools that have changed at a lower level of play, gone from 17 concussions in a competitive helmet down to 2 in our helmets.
You know, and I guess my question would be, you know, because I think Chris Olave this year, you know, he obviously had issues with concussions. He had multiple concussions. His season ended in week 9 because he had to be carted off the field. And, you know, prior to that, he mentioned he had changed from whatever helmet he was wearing to the highest rated helmet. And I don't, there's a lot of terms that go along with that.
Yep.
But the question I think that comes from that is like, okay, why isn't every NFL player already wearing the highest rated concussion helmet? And, you know, part of it's personal preference, right? You know, some of the weight, like you mentioned, it can vary from helmet to helmet. What does go into that? Because a lot of it is, you know, player preference, right?
Totally. You know, we have two decision makers on helmets. You got the player who might be 6 years old or 36 years old,
right.
Tom Brady, 46 years old. How does it look? How does it feel? Do I play better? Who else is wearing it? Then you have the person that's putting it on heads. They are looking at how do these things test better in the lab. So the NFL tests helmets, and then an organization called Virginia Tech, it's an independent lab. Everybody looks at those too. So you want something that scores well on both. Unfortunately, a lot of the lab testing is done in a pretty static environment because it's got to be repeatable. So they hit each, you know, location on the helmet two times. They don't take into consideration temperature. They don't take into consideration head whip. You know, if you're at elevation, if the helmet came off, let's say a punter that hasn't punted in a half and it got cold sitting, and then they put it back on. So you have all these other variables. One thing we do know is that the energy equations, the velocity squared, the mass times two, if you can cut the mass significantly, that you're reducing the amount of impact or kinetic energy in these impacts. And hey, I had Legos as a kid. I'm not an engineer, nor am I a neurologist. But we've got 12 neurologists, orthopedic surgeons, including Tal David, who is the Chargers doc, the head of neurology down at Baptist Health in Florida, Peter Cummins, who wrote a book with Merrill Hodge. Not only are they on our advisory board, but their kids wear our helmet. Tony Romo's an owner of the company. His kids wear the helmet. Peter Cummins, who's a physician, forensic neurologist, his kids wear the helmet. Dan Orlovsky, ESPN, his kids wear the helmet.
Okay.
And remember, the kid helmet is far different than the NFL helmet, and we have different helmets for all those levels of play.
What is your opinion on how the NFL is handling concussions in general and how it kind of relates to the helmets? You've seen guardian caps go on. They can now wear those in the games. We've seen a handful of players. I think the aesthetics are always the issue, and a lot of players just don't want to put them on.
Yeah.
But it does. It kind of strikes me as like, hey, okay, if it helps prevent concussions, why aren't they on? And why
exactly
aren't they just part of the helmet? Where do you land on that?
So, you know, I think the guardian cap offers some real benefit for bigs that are hitting each other repetitively at low to moderate speeds, high torque, low horsepower impact. But look at Romeo Doubs on the Packers, right? He's wearing one. He hits the ground. The same helmet that is underneath the guardian that created a problem from him 4 weeks earlier is still there.
Mm.
So, fortunately or unfortunately, I think it's good in some areas, and in other areas it's probably a negative. Now, think about this. If you have two high-speed, you know, players running at each other, the helmets glance off. When you have something like that on, they catch, so it creates a different dynamic. I think the biggest thing is reducing the weight of the helmet, neck strength at a lower level. The NFL guys obviously are already working on that. But the NFL has had a test out since 2017, and they've continually made adjustments to that test based on concussions from the prior years, what helmets people have been wearing, etc. There's now position-specific helmets, and we'll have some exciting news coming up here in the next, say, 45 days and where our new helmets fall on some of the position-specific helmets. But remember, that's still in a lab. It's still not in real world. You know, and when you start going out on field in a very, very gladiator-type sport,
right,
and people are getting hit multiple times, or you're losing control of how your head whips around, that weight is really the enemy. And we're finding, based on when we compare our data to general data, that our helmet provides the best protection available, and it helps you perform better because you're taking 2.5 pounds off the absolute worst part of the body.
Yeah, it's interesting because, you know, helmets have been around forever, but, you know, obviously some racing terms involved here, but like the science behind it feels like it's still being discovered in real. I mean, how are we kind of reaching the peak of what we can expect from helmet safety, or is there more ground to cover?
There's more ground to cover. Now, keep in mind, in any industry, competition makes a better product.
Right.
Whether it's, you know, automobiles, cellular phone bills going down, you know, in the 90s when there were way more carriers than just two. It's the same thing in football helmets. The problem we've had is there's really only two other companies other than Light Helmets in the football helmet business. So you have Riddell, they have about 80% market share. Then you have Schott that swallowed up Vices, and then there's Light. Zenith's no longer in business. And the challenge with this is if there's not as many competitors, it doesn't push the boundaries, right? And the helmets that are worn in the NFL look like the helmets that are worn in college and look like the helmets that are worn in high school and youth, but the shell may be the only thing that's the same. And parents don't know that, that's the case. They're like, oh, my helmet that Junior's wearing looks just like the helmet that I saw somebody wearing on Sunday, and that's not the case. So the technology in the last 2 years with 3D printing, and the internals on our helmet are 3D printed, and they're printed specifically for each position because a quarterback has different impacts than a linebacker. Mm-hmm. A kicker would have a different impact than a wide receiver. So the NFL's done a good job of starting to scout position-specific impacts, and then we can design helmets around them. But when you start designing and the manufacturers start designing to perform well on a test, you often, because it's in a clinical environment, you often lose some of the flexibility you have to create a better helmet for the field. And we're seeing a little bit of that. So there's more meat on the bone. We'll still see improvements. I think you'll see helmet size stay about the same, but weight is going to come down. We're ahead of the curve with that 2.5 pounds lighter than, you know, if you take a competitive helmet, some of them weigh over 6 pounds with coach to player in them, and our helmets weigh 3.5 pounds. That's a huge difference.
Yeah, I'd love to see like a graphic of helmets over the years. So I saw a clip of a Vikings kicker, and it was like just a single bar across the face. I'm like, what is this even doing? This isn't protecting anyone. But you know, we've come a long way from the leather helmet days. Let's put it that way.
Absolutely, and you know, it's remarkable too because flag football now is an Olympic sport, yeah. Right? So we have the number one flag football headgear that's ever been produced. We're starting to sell those, and it's exciting because it's the fastest growing women's sport, and the NFL has done a fantastic job of supporting that. And you know, people that play flag football aspire to play professional football, and there's all these levels in between. But I do think that we're going to see you know, their sensor packages right now, they provide a mixed bag of accuracy in terms of data or whether the person's injured, because they're measuring G's, they're not measuring whether someone's hurt or not. There's mouth guards, there's all sorts of other things. We actually have a 4K camera that we're experimenting with, that we're looking at putting in the helmet, so people at home will be able to see exactly what does it look like when a quarterback is back there throwing the ball, because we've all seen the armchair quarterback say, why did he throw the ball right to the defender? Well, it's a lot different when there's 21 Olympic athletes other than you running around on the field, right, and trying to complicate that issue.
All right, great stuff. Nick Asayan, founder of Light Helmets. You'll see a few of those out there on Sunday?
Yeah, well, this week I think we got a couple of them out there. Over the course of the season, we had about 20 guys in the NFL. It was our first year in the NFL, and about 140 guys in NCAA wearing them. But it's exciting, and next year you'll see, you know, hopefully about 100 guys, 120 guys wearing them. And competition's good for all of us. We all love the game, and it's key. It's critical to keep the key players on the field. So we're here to help.
Awesome. Well, again, Nick Asayan, founder of Light Helmets. Thanks so much for the time, man. Enjoy New Orleans, the week, the Super Bowl, man.
Week's going to be great. Game's exciting. Jeff, thanks so much for having me.
Nick Asayan on the Treasure Chest Casino Power Seed. Appreciate that interview. Good stuff there. And I know not totally because of the new helmets involved, but seeing there was a 43% drop in the concussion rate this past NFL season. Great news. I know the new NFL kickoff rules had a lot to do with that too.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, the NFL needs its star players on the field, right? The Saints season only got worse when Chris Olave was unable to come back, right? Like, you need those players, and you need to find ways to keep them healthy. And so,
and then you worry about the now and then also their future.
Yeah, and I think what players need to realize is, like Nick was saying, it's like you're wearing a helmet because you like the way it looks. Like, you need to look at a lot more than the aesthetics of the helmet. And so if you're not wearing the top-rated concussion helmet and you're dealing with concussions, you got to take a long look at that.
Steve Geller, Jeff Nowak here at the Memorial Convention Center, host committee's Media Center on Radio Row. Be right back right after this on WWL. Oh, tomorrow's going to be another gorgeous day. Why not take a road trip to the beach in beautiful Bay St. Louis, Mississippi? Join the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, and NFL analyst Mike Dettillier at the Silver Slipper Casino for Big Game Saturday. Second Guess. They're going to analyze the team, size up the players, and have a good time. A special edition of Second Guess with the two Cajuns, Bobby and Mike, at the Silver Slipper Casino. That's tomorrow afternoon from 1 to 4. Join them at the Slipper or live on WWLAMFM.com and the Odyssey app. We'll close things out from the Memorial Convention Center's Radio Row right after this on WWL. Wrapping up our last edition of Sports Talk here on Radio Row, where they're actually dismantling it, Jeff.
It's and mostly I'm hoping, dismantled, yes.
I'm hoping that the Philadelphia Eagles can dismantle the Kansas City Chiefs. I think we're in store for a good game on Sunday. Probably end up being a tight one, but like everybody's been saying, it's hard to bet against a guy like Patrick Mahomes. No matter what the situation is, it just seems he's able to come out on top, able to stay calm and cool, and knows who to get the ball to, what situations is the right to just, you know, tuck and run, has just a great, you know, sense of everything around him. And that definitely scares the bejesus out of me going into this matchup on Super Bowl Sunday. Hoping Philly can pull this one out, because obviously we'll be in attendance and want to see the Eagles win. But, man, oh, man, I'm just worried about the Chiefs for sure.
Comes down to Saquon for me. I think the best way to beat Pat Mahomes is to not
keep him off the field.
Let him touch the ball, right?
And the problem is Saquon has those, you know, long rushes. You know, I mean, that could put the
Chiefs
back
on the
field quickly.
I don't think that's going to be the key to the game is the explosive runs. I think if the Eagles can maintain the ball and keep Pat off the field, that's – like I actually think the long runs
long
might work against
drives.
The Eagles. I think
it's going to be
a high-scoring game. It's probably going to come down to who has the ball last. So I don't know. I think the Eagles want to make sure they're the team with the ball last.
That's what's scary because it always seems like Mahomes and the Chiefs are that team with the ball last, and sure. It doesn't matter what time is left on the clock.
I'll tell you what, if they have a 20-point lead in this game, they're not taking the foot off the gas, the Eagles. Like, they're going to
Exactly. Pedal to the metal. Looking forward to seeing this offense of the Eagles, too, where Kellen Moore might be his last hurrah in Philadelphia. We'll get to see him next, maybe in black and gold. We'll find out what happens. I'm Steve Geller. For Jeff Nowak, also Luke Augusta hanging out with us, putting in them hours. Thanks for everyone for joining us for our coverage of Super Bowl 59. Have a great night, everybody, and enjoy the game on Sunday. Who dat?